Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going after one of the most iconic sounds in old-school jungle and dubwise drum and bass, the air horn hit. And just to be clear, this is not about making the horn as loud as possible. It's about making it hit with attitude, while still leaving room for the break, the sub, and the whole groove to breathe. That's the vibe. Foreground event, not lead instrument. We're working in Ableton Live 12, and by the end, you'll have a short dubwise jungle phrase with a trimmed horn sample, a rolling break underneath, a solid sub layer, and tasteful delay and reverb sends that give it that sound system energy without turning the mix into fog. So let's jump in. First thing, choose the right air horn sample. You want something with a strong mid-range bite and not too much tail. If the sample rings out forever, it's going to clutter the rhythm fast, especially in jungle where the break is already busy. Drop the sample into simpler or onto an audio track. If you're in simpler, set it to classic playback, and if it's a single one-shot, turn one shot on. Tighten the start so the transient comes in immediately. If there's a click, use a tiny fade in, just enough to smooth it out. Then trim the tail so the horn stops before the next major drum accent. That trimming step matters a lot. In this style, the horn should behave like a punchy accent, almost like a percussion hit with attitude. If the tail is too long, it'll smear the groove and make the break feel slower than it really is. Now place the horn in the phrase. Don't just throw it somewhere random and hope it works. In old-school jungle, the horn usually answers the drums or the bass, so think in call and response. A really effective move is to place the horn on an offbeat, like the end of beat 2 or the end of beat 4. Another good option is right after a snare, where it can feel like the track is shouting back at the rhythm. You can also use it at the top of a new 4-bar or 8-bar section to mark the drop or a switch up. For this lesson, imagine a simple 8-bar section. Maybe bars 1 to 4 are filtered break and atmosphere, then the full drums enter in bar 5. Put a horn hit on the end of 2 in bar 6 with a delay throw. Then bring it back in bar 8, maybe slightly shorter and with a different automation shape. And here is a big tip. Less is more. One or two well-placed horn hits can feel way bigger than constant repeats. If you use it every bar, it stops sounding like a callout and starts sounding like wallpaper. Before we add any effects, balance the raw horn against the break. This is where a lot of people go wrong. They process first, then try to fix the level later. Flip that around. Start by pulling the horn fader down and bringing it up until it sits on top of the groove without taking over. A good starting point is to keep the horn a few dB below the snare peak. The snare and break need to stay in charge of the rhythm. If the horn is louder than the main drum impact, the whole thing can feel flattened out. You want authority, not domination. Also, keep an eye on headroom. Try to leave around 6 dB of space on the master before final limiting. That gives you room to shape the mix without the horn slamming into the ceiling every time it hits. If you want, use spectrum on the horn and on the drum bus. Look at that 1 to 4kHz range carefully. That's prime territory for snare attack and break definition. If the horn is hugging that area, it may sound exciting in solo, but in the full mix it can get harsh fast. Now let's shape the horn with EQ8. Start with a high pass filter somewhere around 90 to 160hz. The horn doesn't need low end, and you definitely don't want it muddying the sub. If the sample feels boxy, kyle little around 250 to 500hz. If it's spiky or painful, make a narrow dip somewhere in the 2.5 to 4.5kHz range. That's often where the ear gets tired first. If the sample feels dull, you can add a gentle shelf above 6 or 8kHz, but be careful. The point is not to make it hi-fi and shiny. The point is to make it readable and aggressive without turning it into a painful whistle. A nice way to think about EQ here is, remove mud, control pain, preserve attitude. Next, give it some authority with saturation. Ableton's saturator works great for this. Turn soft clip on, add a little drive, maybe 1 to 5 dB, then adjust the output so the level stays roughly the same. That level matching part is important. If it only sounds better because it's louder, you're not really judging the sound honestly. You can also try drum bus if you want a denser, more textured edge. Keep it subtle. A little drive and a touch of crunch can help the horn cut through the mix, especially on smaller speakers, where the mid-range does most of the talking. The reason this works so well in DNB is that saturation creates harmonics, and harmonics help the horn read even when the track is already packed with breakbeats, sub, and res. Now for the fun part. Dub style space. Create two return tracks. Put echo on one and reverb on the other. This gives you classic control and keeps the dry horn punchy. On the echo return, try a sync time like quarter note or dotted eighth. Set the feedback somewhere moderate, maybe around 20 to 45%. Filter the delay so it doesn't muddy the low end. You really want the repeats to live in the upper and upper mid space, not crowd the sub. On the reverb return, keep the decay fairly compact, maybe around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds. Use a small pre-delay so the dry hit still lands clearly before the space blooms. Again, keep the return low enough that it supports the horn instead of swallowing it. This is where automation makes the whole thing feel alive. Keep the horn dry on the main hit, then open up the sends only on selected phrases. A classic dub move is a bigger delay throw on the last horn of a section, then pulling it back in the next phrase. And if the delay starts cluttering the break, don't just turn it down and hope. Put an auto filter on the return and roll off the lows more aggressively. Dub space should feel intentional, not foggy, not messy, intentional. Another really useful move is to duck the returns. Put a compressor on the echo or reverb return and sidechain it from the drum group or even the snare. Aim for just a couple dB of gain reduction. That way, when the drums hit, the ambience gets out of the way and the transients stay crisp. That's a great trick in jungle, because the break should always stay lively and sharp. The horn can be huge, but the drums still need to breathe. Now let's check the arrangement against the bass. If you've got a sub or a res, give the horn some room. Often the best result is when the bass briefly ducks or even rests right on the horn accent. That little pocket makes the horn feel much bigger without needing more volume. Think about an 8-bar call and response. Bars 1 and 2, drums and sub only. Bar 3, horn hit, then the bass answers. Bar 4, a drum fill. Bars 5 and 6, horn again, maybe with a different delay amount. Bars 7 and 8, strip things back and tease the next entry. That's the kind of arrangement language that feels authentic in dubwise and old school jungle. It's not just looping a horn sample, it's making the track respond to it. You can also add subtle human feel by shifting the horn timing a tiny bit or changing velocity or clip gain from hit to hit. Even a few milliseconds can make a static sample feel more played and less pasted in. Now let's talk automation, because this is where you turn a sample into part of the composition. Automate the send level to echo, the reverb amount, the EQ shelf, the saturator drive, or even the track volume. For example, you might increase the echo send only on the last horn of a 4-bar phrase, or open the high pass a little before the horn so it feels like it's rising out of space, or lower repeated horn hits by a dB or two so the first one stays the strongest. Those tiny changes create tension and release. They make the horn feel like it's moving through the track instead of just sitting on top of it. Now, very important, check the mix in mono. Horn samples often have width or phase content that can disappear on smaller or less ideal systems. Put utility on the master or on the group and switch to mono. Ask yourself, does the horn still read? Does it overpower the snare? Is the sub still solid? Are the delays causing low-mid clutter? Keep the sub centered and mono. Make sure the horn's main energy lives in the mid-range, where it can survive on systems that don't have perfect stereo imaging. That mid-range presence is the whole identity of the sound. If the horn and bass are fighting, don't automatically reach for a giant EQ cut. Sometimes a short bass rest around the horn hit is cleaner and more musical. Dynamic arrangement beats permanent correction a lot of the time. Let's quickly cover some common mistakes. First, making the horn too loud. That's the easiest trap. If it feels too big, lower the dry track first, then rebuild the presence with saturation and selective EQ. Second, letting the tail smear the break. Shorten the sample, reduce reverb, and sidechain the returns if needed. Third, overusing delay. Most horn hits should stay dry. Save the big throws for endings, transitions, or a special phrase moment. Fourth, cutting too much high end. Don't turn the horn into a dull honk. You still need that sharp mid-range bite. Fifth, ignoring the bass relationship. Give the horn a pocket. Let the arrangement breathe. And sixth, forgetting mono. Always check mono, especially if you've used width or stereo effects. If you want to push this further, here are a few pro moves. Try resampling the horn through your own chain. Print the horn with saturation, echo, and reverb to a new audio track. Then slice that result. That gives you a unique texture and makes editing easier. Try making two horn characters, one short and dry for drop accents, and one washed out for transitions or breakdowns. Swapping between them keeps the ear interested. Try layering a filtered noise burst under the horn for extra air. Keep it subtle so it doesn't become harsh. Try distorting the return more than the dry hit. That keeps the punch intact while giving the tail a smoky, gritty edge. And if you want an even more authentic old-school feel, let the drums talk back. Horn hit, then a brief snare pickup or break fill. That little conversation between elements is pure energy. Here's a quick practice exercise. Load one air horn sample into Simpler and trim it cleanly. Put three hits over an 8-bar loop. One dry hit, one with a small delay throw, and one with more reverb but slightly lower volume. Process the horn with EQ8 and saturator. Create echo and reverb returns, then automate the sends only on the second and third hits. Add a rolling break and a simple sub pattern underneath. Test everything in mono and adjust until the horn cuts through without overpowering the drums. Then bounce the loop to audio and listen back with fresh ears. The goal is simple. Make the horn feel like it belongs in the arrangement. Not pasted on top, not cartoonish, not too polite, just bold, controlled, and right in the pocket.